Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Hey, good evening. Joe Schofield here, and welcome to this week's version of Raising Expectations. And we're really glad you tuned in tonight. We hope you've had a great day, and we know God's got a great week planned for you as long as you're tuned in and catching what he has to say. One day at a time, the excitement builds and grows all week. So again, we hope you had a great weekend and a great week is coming for you. You know our team, you know what we're about. If you are new tonight, we're all born-again believers in Jesus Christ. We believe that God's who he says he is. It's pretty simple. And we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he was sent to earth to be born of a virgin, to die on the cross, to pay the price for our sins. Somebody had to do it, and only God could because his Son was perfect. And he rose again on the third day, and he's coming again. And that guarantees us when we put our faith and our trust in him, we say very simply, Lord, we know we fail. We know we've sinned in life. Please forgive us of our sins. We believe you're who you say you are and help us to belong to you. And boy, the things that take place. So we know he's got expectations that are still coming for you. And where do you see what he can do in those expectations? So tonight we want to share with you the team once again. We've got a great team. These people bless my life every week. I know they bless your life because you tell me so. I get those texts, and thanks. Keep those texts coming. I'm going to show my age. We used to say keep those cards and letters coming, but now just keep the texts coming. That'll work really good. We enjoy getting those. So in any event, just as they used to say in the old days, moving right along, we're going to go right on and introduce the team to you and then bring on our guests. And we want to thank, you know, all of the people on this team. Want to thank our engineer, T.J. Newsom, who every week does so much to make this show come to you. So if you want to drop a line about that to me also, I'd love to let T.J. know how much you appreciate him also. He's a very special young man all the way back there in Houston, Texas, down south. So we'll make sure we let him know that. So beginning on the West Coast there in Long Beach, California, we have, as you know, Dr. Paul Hall. Dr. Hall is a graduate of the same university as our guest is tonight, as am I in our undergraduate work. And we're looking forward to tonight. We'll share that with you in a minute. Paul is a retired pastor. He's a philosopher. He's a teacher. He's a deep thinker. He's a guy who listens and thinks before he talks. I love guys like that. And he's one of those men who will bless your life that way. He's blessed my life for 55 years. And we're still young and still going. So if that ends during the program, detract those words. But anyway, during the time we're going full blast. How you doing, Paul?
Good, thanks. Good to see y'all.
Good to see you guys. All right, we're going to move together to the East Coast, the South, actually, there in Georgia, or Georgia, as they say. And we want to go all the way to Dalton, Georgia, where Steph Thayer and her husband, Dr. Craig Thayer, live in Dalton, Georgia. And Steph and Craig, or Tank, as we call them, are two incredibly wonderful people. They love the Lord. They love each other. They're an example of what a godly home should be. They're an example of how to love your mate in Christ Jesus. And Stephanie there, she's a health and wellness coach. She does all these things. Plus, right now, she has a website, and I'm going to invite you to our website. So listen close, because I'm used to doing this differently. But if you go to bbsradio.com/raising expectations, bbsradio.com/raising expectations, it looks like this. And on there, you'll find all these great folks that I'm sharing with you. So you can go and check them out and pray for them. They'd appreciate that. There's our programs, and you'll be able to follow it yourself each time. So Stephanie has an incredible website, and on that website, it's called Live Your Life out loud. And the reason you want to live your life out loud, as she shares, is because God is doing great things in your life, and you can't wait to share what it's all about. So Stephanie helps women across the nation who found out what it is to have a real friend. That's what she is to them. And she shares Christ Jesus and the answers and the insight and the blessings and the prayer time with these people. It makes a huge difference in their life, just like God said. You want to look that up. Live your life out loud right there. You'll want to check that and see for yourself. So also, you'll find resources for her there. Live your life out loud. Check that out. And I know you'll be so glad that you did. And right next to her, on her left, on my right, you'll see her husband. And, you know, this guy, he's incredible. Stephanie, you did such a good job on this guy. He's just incredible. So we're so glad for Dr. Tank. We call him Tank. He's a surgeon. He's a man who knows how to diagnose well, being a trauma surgeon. He's one of those surgeons, you know, they go to when there's difficulty. And a lot of guys are saying, oh, my Lord, what do we do now? Because somebody's been in maybe a terrible accident. And this is the man they'll ask because he takes a look at that. He prays while he's looking, and God prepares his hands, and he has saved lives and helped people. We couldn't even begin to imagine how many times he's done that. So he's a blessing to their lives. He's a blessing to all of our lives. He's also an author now. His book is out. It's called Saved, and you'll find it on our website. There it is, one trauma surgeon's true accounts of the miracles of his life. Saved. And I love the little quip there, finding God in the ordinary, because that's who we all are, folks. God works in the ordinary things of our life. When you find out all these things in his life, you'll be saying to yourself, wow, thank you, Lord. You've done things in my life too. I'm inspired. I want to be loved by God as he is, and I want to see him work in my life like he has in Tank's. So you want to get a copy of that, Saved, Dr. Craig Thayer. You can find it right there. The information's on the site. And just above that, you'll find a copy. This is the third edition of my book, Legitimate Faith. It's been come out, Producing Authentic Hope. But like I always say quickly, the acrostic says it all. F-A-I-T-H, faith. Forsaking all, I trust him, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that produces legitimate faith. Because when my hand of faith quivered up and crawls out of the potholes of life, he reaches down his hand of grace, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense on the cross, and changes your life. So God loves us, and he's working in our lives. So you'll want to make sure you can see that on our website and pray for us. Pray that we can use these to help change lives for Christ. So if we all join together now and we go to the west, we head west, go west, young man. As Horace Greeley said, we'll end up in Texas eventually if we hop over Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, and the Mississippi River, and then just get over to McKinney, Texas. That's the first stop for anybody flying to Texas, because they've heard there's a really neat pastor there, and his name is Ron Greer. And you'll find him in McKinney, Texas. He's one of our favorite brothers in the whole world. And Ron is a counselor. He's a teacher. He ran for Congress once. This man loves the Lord, loves his family. And you'll find him on the website also. You'll find him there. He's with Man in the Mirror, based out of Florida, but Ron works in the area director in Texas there, and you want to read about him there, Ron Greer, McKinney, Texas, and you want to say things there, you want to get a hold of him, just go right ahead right there. You'll be able to contact him and let him know you're praying for him. Let him know that there are people out there, as you do to me, that are lifting him up in prayer. So these are the people, and that his prayer is to lead with purpose. It's real important. It's written right there. These are the people who God has brought us all together. Actually, we're in our fifth year. It's really incredible what God has done, and we thank you for that. And we look forward to sharing the Lord and people in their lives and people in our Raising Expectations family. We've got a group of people that we kind of hone it down to 15 or 20 of them now, because every time they come on, they really touch your life. So tonight we have a very special guest with us. Her name is Melba Hernandez. And as you may know, she was with us last September, and many of you asked for her again to come back again. And so she is there from Texas, and she is actually at the church, Cross Cities Church, there in Dallas, Texas. So if you have been reading this week, you've seen some of the things that have been said about her there. She's a great mother. She's a woman of God. She served as a missionary, as a missions writer. She graduated at the university there, Hardin-Simmons University in Abilene, Texas. She graduated their Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. She's a writer. She's an organizer. She's a Mexican American who's just an incredible. Her family has been something else. She was a homecoming queen, actually, the year after Paul and I were gone from the university, and so it's pretty exciting. Yeah, that was it. That's it. She's got it down. Yeah, that's it. I think Paul taught her.
Very good.
But anyway, we
I
said,
just practiced.
when you come on here tonight, Melba, you know, just make yourself right at home because we love the Lord. We love you. We're all family. And it's so great to have you with us. So we want to give for Melba Hernandez from Dallas, Texas, there. We want to give the round of applause. How about that? I got it, Steph. So we're going to bring you in. Welcome to Raising Expectations, Melba. It's so good to see you. And
Thank you.
just share your heart with us for a few minutes, and we'll come back in with some questions. We'll just have a great time.
Okay, thank you for having me once again. I didn't
Amen.
think I don't even remember what I talked about last time. I asked Joe what we were going to talk about tonight. He said, "Well, let's just see what happens." I said, "Oh, okay, I can do that." But some of my background, as Joe has prefaced all this, is that I've led conferences and training Sunday school leadership, VBS leadership. I've done parent conferences, and in 35 years of leading conferences, it was such a good experience. But my first one, I had a big, huge box of all my handouts, and my director, our regional director, said, "I don't think you need all that." So I said, "Okay, next time I won't make as many copies." But as we got into all the media that's now possible, we started doing PowerPoints and waiting till we got to our location to make the copies instead of traveling, 100 miles with them. But God has blessed my life richly since I graduated in the mid 70s, and my whole plan, my plan was to graduate from high school, go to college, and then go to seminary. But in the middle of that, I went to Mexico City as a journeyman missionary, and that's where I met my husband. And so we came back to Texas and just started living life. And we have two daughters, and he went to be with the Lord in 2018. And so not anything I was expecting, obviously, but for a couple of years, I just kind of questioned, what do I do now? Where do I go? Who now? I followed him a lot, and he and I had lots of discussions and prayer time about, because he preached and he taught. And so I was at a loss. And so the first thing we did is we sold our home. I sold our home in Arlington, and we moved to Indiana, where my youngest daughter was. And my youngest daughter said, "Mom, we need to be together." She said, "You and Rachel are in Texas, and we're over here. Why don't you move with?" I said, "You need to pray for your sister because I have no idea, because she's a very she has a network everywhere she goes. She's got all networks of friends." And I said, "You start praying for her because she's going to have to release all that and go through relocation," which she hadn't done in her life. We tried to stay. I'm an Air Force brat, so every 3 years we moved, And just when I thought I had made some friends, "Oh, we're going somewhere." I said, "Okay, let me just pack all my little memories here." And so when we moved to Arlington in 85, that was one thing I told my husband. I said, "We need to make sure we're somewhere where the girls are in the same elementary school, the 6 years. They're still at the junior high those 2 years. And in 4 years in high school, we need to make sure they're in their neighborhood and they know their friends." I never had that. I never had that. But even though I'm going to start in Spanish now, if you guys understand Spanish, I was going to start this in Spanish. But I thought, I know that's not going to work. But as I look back, when I started seminary, one of the first things they asked us to do was to write our testimony. And so I started writing it. And I realized that even though we moved every 3 to 4 years, Daddy always put us in the church. He always found a church for us. And in every 3 or 4 years that we were in a different church, God began to mold me. Little by little, He started putting people in my in my pathway that helped me learn and scripture and understand it. I started playing the piano, and I don't think the impact on my younger sisters and brother or my older brother was as positive as it was for me. They all had their little difficulties in moving, but I cherished them. I said, let's go. Where are we going now? Well, we ended up, our last tour was in Montana. 40 below zero winters and 6 to 8 foot snow drifts that, right in front of your door. And we learned to like it to stay inside. Daddy bought us a ping pong table, so we were in the basement all the time playing ping pong. But I started thinking how our society, or whoever does this, the census people, where they've classified each generation of age groups and what they, but I don't know about Ron or the Thayers, but Paul and Joe and I are part of the baby boomer generation. And it goes from 46 to 65. I didn't realize this, that all my brothers and sisters, we are all baby boomers. And yet we're five different individuals with five different concepts, raised in the same home, but we all have our way of thinking, our way of doing things, even in the church. And so I'm just amazed as how that happens. And I know you guys have children, and it's a difference. I only had two, but even those two kept me busy. One was quiet, one was talkative. One had a good nature, the other one was always mad. And I'm just going, you know what? Go to your rooms. I don't when you regroup, then let me know. But then I got to thinking that what has happened between our generation, my generation, and let's say the millennials, how different were they? My sister-in-law, when she started, they started having kids, she read a lot, a book by Spock. And you, if you know the word Spock, I mean, not Star Trek or Star Wars or whatever that is, but he gave some psychological, some discipline, some parenting advice, and it wasn't working. Not, at least not with my sister-in-law. And so my dad used to tell her, just take that book and spank their bottoms with it, get it over with. So, but I realize now that the age group where my girls are in, their mindsets are so different. Two different road trips to one trip to Indiana was pleasant. The trip back from Indiana, I heard things from my younger daughter that I thought I would never, never hear. She was doubting God. She was doubting why we use our Bible, the Bible that we do, the Baptists use. And I said, well, it's not just the Baptists. It just happens to be the one that we use and have adopted for generations. And she just started saying, it was okay living with somebody. It was okay being gay. It was okay being. I said, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I said, and then the older one comes up and says, well, the universe, is against me. I said, I did not teach you that word. I said, so I don't know where you got it, but God is in control, not the universe, but God is. And I said, and when you need something, you know what to do. She goes, I know, Mom. So, I'm facing a lot of different issues where some of my friends' grandchildren are going through gender stuff and homosexuality, unwanted pregnancies, even with our within our church members. And so these are areas where we're having to come back and say, how do we minister to this generation so that they understand what's going on and how God is working through everything? And I was talking to one of our Sunday school teachers who's teaching the young adults. And she goes, you know what? I was talking about a story in the Bible. There was about six kids there. They had never heard any of the Bible stories. And two or three of them, their father was a pastor
Oh my.
in Puerto Rico.
Oh, what are
What's
they missing?
happened? What's happened that they don't know any of the Bible stories? So she decided she was going to find some curriculum that even if it was like preteen, early junior high stuff, that would go through the Bible and identify all of those Bible heroes that I grew up with and the stories behind it and why they did what they did, you know? So I got to thinking about that and praying over my girls. There's a book out by Mark Batterson, Praying Circles Around Your Kids. I've been praying circles and squares and oblong, obtuse stuff. I mean, just anything I can, any object I can get. Here's my mouse. I've been praying mice over that too. But God has protected my girls, even though they're not living the lifestyle. And this was another thing that I learned yesterday, or this morning during our prayer time on staff. There's a book out calling Convergent Circles. He was a seminary professor back in the 70s or 80s. Thomas, I think, was his last name. But he said that, and this is what I used to tell the children when I was in children's ministry and they were being baptized. I said, you know what? This is not just any day. This is the first day of your life following Christ. So what are you going to ask every time you have to make a decision? What would Jesus do? I said, you're right. I said, this is where your heart is going to tell you the difference between right and wrong, you know? And so it's even whenever our lead pastor, because there's three venues in our church, we have the lead church is the English speaking. I'm with the Hispanics, and then we have an international group whose common language is English. So the pastor is from Indonesia. And his wife is from Thailand. And so they both speak perfect English. They grew up, most of them grew up in Canada because his parents moved there when they were little. But we were talking about John led a wonderful service one year, last year, about gender reversal and what all of that stands for. And the first thing he told the congregation, because everyone's wanting to say amen and clap, you know, you get so emotional with this, with the message. He says, let's not respond. I want you to listen to what I have to say. He says, and then when we're done, you do whatever you want to do, but I need your undivided attention. And I was, by this time I was already in the Hispanic congregation, and they all preached the same sermon in their own way. And it was not like that in our service. When I listened to the English service, I was driving home, and it was unbelievable the impact that he made. He was not never afraid to preach those untouchable subjects. And you know, and even when we had our emphasis last February, we talked a lot about homosexuality. And I told the staff, I said, you know, I'm the oldest staff member at my church, and I'm proud of that. But I asked him, I said, I'm from a different generation. I said, help me understand how I should react, how I should behave, how I should minister to the parents of those adults who are making these changes in their lives. And everyone keeps, and I've mentioned it two or three times. I said, this is not easy for me. I said, because the hardest thing we had was interracial marriage and LSD and maybe cigarettes and drinking. And that was the big, you know, those were the big sins. And so what our society now is deemed natural or ordinary, instead of saying, oh my goodness, you know, nobody's saying, oh my goodness. They're just saying, well, do what you want to do, you know? And so it concerns me that when I was on staff with children's ministry, I used to tell my teachers, we have these kids 6 years. And in those 6 years, they're going to learn the books of the Bible. They're going to learn about the Bible heroes, and they're going to learn how to pray, and they're going to learn how to accept Christ as their Savior. I don't want to hear the youth minister the month after they transfer into his department, they didn't know anything. I said, I don't want to hear that. That's not the way we do ministry. We are partners from birth through high school, guiding these kids to walk the walk, you know, and be part of God's life and have God in their lives. And so there
That's
I
a
am.
great point there. Adrian Rogers said once that America's lost its ability to blush.
Right.
Nothing shakes us up anymore.
Yeah.
Stephanie, you had a thought? I know Rhonda has a question coming here.
I actually had a couple of thoughts. You mentioned Mark Batterson, and he's great. He has Draw the Circle and then also Circle Maker, because you mentioned children. And it's really wonderful for kind of looking at your prayer life in a different way. I sweep our property in our house all the time because of that book, actually. But when you were talking about the road trip and having a conversation with your daughter, and I suspect I'm the same generation as your daughter, and I would completely disagree with her positions, right? And so some of it, I think, is a lot of it's who we're surrounded by, right? What content we take in, those that are closest to us. But our pastor was actually talking about different biblical approaches yesterday, and he was talking about relativism, which is where we apply society's what society says. And anyone close to me knows if there's going to be a debate, what my first question is. And my first question is always, where is that in the Bible?
That's right.
Rather than saying you're wrong, which is usually what I'm thinking, I want you to show me the scripture or the context of the story that you can extrapolate that. And one of the things that has helped me so much is, and with family members about hard conversations, actually, it was about the sexuality conversation. And I just say, the Bible is my moral compass. I don't get to pick what I decide is right or not out of it. And so it's not about how I feel. If I believe that this is from the Lord and that this is true, then I need to look to it for my decisions. And you know what? It actually stops arguments because there's not a lot that someone can do with that. And then you're going to have to argue why you believe the Bible isn't true to me, because it's not based on feeling or, and we have people we're very close with that live sexual lifestyles that we don't agree with. We still love them. Just like, I mean, I'm a sinner too, right? And so I think that some of these are hot button items, but we need to redirect back to what the truth is.
You're right, and I hadn't thought about that. But one, I'm talking to somebody, and he said something. I said, "Where in the Bible is that?" And he couldn't respond, and so he dropped it. He dropped it right
Friends will
there.
actually say it before they're like, I already know you're going to say, where is it in the Bible? I don't know. I'm like, well, you better find
I
it.
looked it up. I looked it up while we were
Be
talking. I
ready.
said, "Okay, you need to remember this." This passage, and this is the book, and this is the okay, thank you. And so, that kind of cut that down.
Ron, you got a question there? I know you probably got one rolling.
I actually got a couple, but anyway, I'll try to keep it brief.
Oh yeah, hit
And thank
one
you,
and I'll
Melba,
hit one.
for being with us and sharing. I
Thank
greatly
you.
appreciate that. But I would say also thank you for the compliment. I'm a baby boomer also, although I know my personality, my face doesn't look like it.
Exactly.
And a baby boomer by a few years actually. But it's the grace of God, so I'll accept the
There you go.
blessing. Well, thank you. You mentioned because you're dealing with the same you're dealing in with and I mean a lot of us are dealing with the same things. You have kids growing up in Christian household and not just church households. Parents who are committed, mistakenly committed Christians and serious about the relationship. But you see that probably 40 to 60% of their kids are now no longer a part of any Christian church. They profess no faith in Christ. And quite frankly, you look at their lives and there's no distinction between them and kids raised in secular non-Christian homes. And that trend is spreading. One of the things our ministry is addressing is that very thing. We spent the last 3 years looking at that particular thing. We have the largest population now are called the nuns. They're young people that have no church or religious affiliation. A large part of them still profess to be believers, and even or spiritual, but they have no connection with a church or other Christians. So it's a problem that's growing, and I think it grew. You mentioned Dr. Spock. That was one of the impetus for what we're seeing now, as you recalled. And by the way, for those who don't know, Dr. Spock himself even renounced his those
Yeah, his
last
book.
words, renounced his spirit.
Yeah.
But it's this idea of feelings being the paramount thing. It's, you know, how you feel, what makes you, the things you're feeling makes whether determines whether or not something is true, right? Or true for you. And I think that unfortunately the church that crept into the church, and we've never had a movement where we've kind of decided to route it out. We've actually gone the other direction, where you know you start with the secret church movement, the secret movement, and that's kind of morphed into you know the whole dynamic. What do you call it? Contemporary church movement now, where again, like you have kids who've grown up in church, they've never heard biblical stories or the basis for those. Because it's not a part of the teaching. It's how do I feel good? How do I help my friends feel good? And I invite them to church. There's no such thing as evangelism because that died also back in
That's
those
right.
early days.
That you're right. You're right.
Ian Murray wrote a book sort of documenting the changes that take place in the evangelical church, where it's no more there's no more evangelism. It's all bringing people into a large gathering where they hear and they experience something and feel
And
good.
they feel good. They feel
Yes.
good about it. You know,
Yeah.
no guilt, no, don't
No.
blame me for anything, but I just want to feel
No.
good.
At all. I recently spoke. Well, I don't get a lot of invitations, believe it or not. But one of the last invitations I got, and they haven't invited me since. But I was asked, told after the service, by one of the elders that. Good message. Just that I wish you would keep it positive, though.
Oh, that's right.
That's it.
Life is kind of funny that way, you know? I read a book.
So again, I think that you're right on, and I think that your approach is the one thing you mentioned, right? That one of the approaches we train churches to do is to make sure there's a connection between the things you do in your church. You have a mission and you have a goals in mind. So everything in your church you do is in line with and connected with that mission and those goals. So you don't have someone in preschool learning something and then not having that sort of reinforced and built on in kindergarten, and then you don't that's even built on and connected in junior school or middle school, and then again in high school. So there should be a kind of a thread going throughout where kids are learning and building on what they learn, and instead of this thing like this. But there's no connection. So anyway, I would just want to echo that you were indeed spot on, and I love it.
Well, I
I'll
read a
stop there.
book. Okay. I used to work for a nonprofit that was birthed out of my current church. And it's called Six Stones. And we were considered a parachurch. And David Platt was saying, it just exactly what Ron was saying is that our churches aren't witnessing, they're not teaching evangelism because there are these parachurches that are doing just that. Because that was one of our key goals, is also as we brought people in for free food and clothing, that we also witness to them and share the gospel with them while they were waiting to be next in line. And we had people that said yes, but you know, that's between them and God, whether they were sincere or they just wanted to get their shoes and food and leave, you know, we just never could tell. But when we started a church plant there, my husband and I at Six Stones, we started out with one family. And then we ended up having about 30 people. And then I resigned from Six Stones because it was going a different direction than what I had envisioned it. I'd been with them 3 years and I thought, well, this is not what God wants. And I just, you know, and then found out that the director was then fired. So I thought, okay, now what's going to happen? And so we sent our people came with us whatever wherever we went, but there was still that family disconnect because one of the ladies says, I believe and I want to be baptized, but my husband's Catholic and I don't want him to be there. I said, I'm not playing that game. We're not going to play that game.
Right,
If
right.
you profess Christ, then you should not be ashamed to do what you need to do, and let him be, let you be his example of what he should be thinking about.
Amen.
And we never baptized her, but once she's now in my current church, and they did baptize her. So I was glad that she was doing that. And then I had another lady, she says, but I'm Catholic. Do I have to give up my idols? You know, her little saints and everything. I said, Lord, tell me what to tell this lady. So I said, yes. No, I didn't. I said,
that's what you were thinking.
That's what I was thinking. Yes. Don't you see it up here? It says, yes.
Yeah.
I told her, I said, you know what? You need to pray through this and you need to be sure of what decision you're making. And once you make that decision, God will lead you to make any other changes that you, because my parents went through that. My aunt and uncle went through that. My grandmother was Catholic. She didn't accept Christ until the day before she died. And there was so much of that, all that history came back to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her, I said, you have to decide. You decide. You don't need to be baptized today if you're not sure. I don't want you to go through with this and not understand why you're doing it.
Yeah.
And she goes, okay. So she did get baptized that day. But I was telling Joe the other day that God has put me in places and spoken for me, even in Spanish. And I don't know where the words come except through the Holy Spirit. And after 50, I celebrated, my class celebrated 50 years having graduated from Hardin-Simmons. And we had so many stories. Yeah, look at those eyes. 50 years, I can't even imagine. But you know, when we talked about our children, my girls are good girls, but, you know, they're, again, living a lifestyle that is not what I taught them. And yet they are adults. They know what needs to be done. I just pray for them every minute of the day. If I could pray for them every second, I would pray for them every second of the day. One of them lives in New York and the other one lives in Indiana. So they know. They
I
know
wish I
who
could,
they.
I wish I could show you. I wish I could show you the calendar on my phone. At 9 o'clock every morning, alarm goes off and it says, pray for the children. My wife and I, same thing. Because we're in the same boat. It's like, you know, you have children that again, there's nothing about their lives. Well, at least the middle son just recently, nothing about their lives that said that they grew up at Christian home. And again, we even scratch our heads at the time, ask the Lord why, because they saw our lives. For instance, they've never known a home when they were growing up without someone living with us. We've had 37 people, 36 people live with us, 20 some odd, I think 25 ex-prisoners, and every single one of them were people who lived in our home for us to mentor and teach and train them and then transition them, right?
Right.
They learned, they were required to learn scriptures all throughout.
That's great.
I would even, and I'll, it's embarrassing. Well, it's not embarrassing now. It's embarrassing to my wife and not me. But anyway, things like I've always had a group of men I've discipled in our home, right? Or me and theirs. And one of the things I require them to do is learn the books of the Bible backwards and forwards and a number of other things. They always told me, you know, you always had guys that I can't remember that. I would bring my kids in purposely to embarrass them. I say, okay, Jamal, go from Revelation back to Matthew. I say, Dakari, the baby one, I said, why don't you go to from Genesis all the way to Job and stop at Job. Imani, take the middle and go back. Just to embarrass them.
Yeah.
And force them. So they were kids who understood and knew all their lives. And then you wonder, they get to college and get up and leave home. And it's like there's a bomb that goes off.
Mm-hmm.
And everything around them affirms where they are, but they don't have churches that come in and challenge those views. They don't have churches to come in and teach them. This is how what you're learning in the culture there doesn't teach them that is contrary to the word of God, how it is.
Right.
Everybody around them believes it. Everything around them affirms it. Nothing contradicts it. So again, it's the same thing with us. It's like, you know, the truth. I know you do. But they don't live it. But I will
Totally.
say, two divorces, the pain of two divorces has brought one back to his
That's good.
praying and depending on the Lord
Yeah.
and involved again. So sorry.
That's
I don't know
okay.
where I was going that rabbit trail, but
You got
hey
there.
Paul. Hey Paul, I'm sitting there looking at Paul and I'm thinking the experiences that our brother has there and churches and everything. You got a thought on that, on how we get through? We've Yeah,
talked about
Pastor. Come on, Pastor.
Well, first of all, I'd like to amend the homecoming queen's wave. When you're at Hardin-Simmons, it's not like this, Mo, but it's like this. And so,
It's
yeah,
like this.
lasso. Yeah, do the
This is
lasso.
less tiring.
No, yeah, it is. I'd like to tell a really quick story, and then Melba, I'd like to direct a question to you.
I
Okay.
knew you were going to do that.
I have a really good friend. He's been my friend since high school, who is quite a sailor. And one time we went out of Santa Barbara Harbor, and we sailed out to the islands, and we turned around. We came back. Well, fog came in. We lost the wind. All we had was a compass, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But anyway, with no wind and just a little motor, it was taking forever to get back to Santa Barbara. We were out on the water for almost 18 hours trying to get back, and it was so cold. We were frozen to the bone. And as we made our way, the fog lifted. We were making our way back in towards Santa Barbara, and his name is Ed. I said, "Ed, how do you know where the mouth of the harbor is? I mean, there was no moon and extremely dark." And he just said, "Paul, look out over the bow." And he said, "You see those three lights?" And I said, "I see them." And he said, "We're going to maneuver until those three lights line up. And when those three lights line up, that's into the harbor." And so I ask you a question, and here's the question. The last time you were with us, you spoke about being in tune with the Holy Spirit, in tune. And so, how do you know when you're in tune with the Holy Spirit? What are the markers for you? Okay.
Gosh, that you always ask those type of questions, Paul.
I'm sorry.
And that's okay because we've just been through a lot of this in our staff. We have a prayer time every Monday at 11:30,
Right.
and John leads us through books, and we discuss it and everything. And part of it was with the Holy about the Holy Spirit, but it's something that on the day that I surrendered to the ministry, I was 13 years old. And I felt it, I felt it. Fast forward, parts of our teams went to Spain one year with Dub Jackson and his traveling group. And we knew we were going to have an interpreter. At that time, I knew no Spanish. The only Spanish I had was my last name, and that was it. And we got to Madrid and we got on a train. We traveled all night and then and then all day Sunday, and no matter as soon as we got off the train, the pastor was there. He says, "Well, we got to get in a taxi because the service starts in 15 minutes." And I said, "Okay." And so we sat around and we were praying and everything. And he said, "Well, our interpreter is not here. Do you want to interpret?" I said, "No." He says, "You're not going to interpret." I said, "No." And Peggy said, "We'll pray over you. You can pray all you want. I am not going." I was very rebellious during those years. And I said, "No, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it." So they prayed over me, laid their hands, and they said, "Okay, go." And so I got up on this platform with Gil. And fortunately, he wrote out his what he was going to say. So I was just reading, a step ahead of him, and then trying what little Spanish I knew. I the Holy Spirit took it. And after about 10 minutes, I saw somebody come in from this part of my eyes, and the pastor immediately got up. He says, "The interpreter's here. I'm out." And so I said, "Okay, bring him on up." And guys, I sat down, and immediately, and this is the strongest I have ever felt it, but immediately felt the Spirit leave me. And that was such a unique experience for me, but that's what I feel. I know you guys that preach, that's how you feel when you finish your preaching. That's how my husband used to feel. I mean, he would go and go and not look at his notes, and he was in it, and once he's done, I could see him relax. I could see the difference in his face. But for me, it's that Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I am God. And when we do that, then we know that we're depending on the Holy Spirit. And I went to Alaska to see some friends of mine, and she wanted me to lead the women's conference. Well, or yeah, they were having a retreat. And at this point, I guess it had been 3 years since my husband had passed. I was speaking nothing but English. We were in Indiana. There were no Hispanics in Indiana that we could see. And so I immediately asked for prayer for that because I knew that I had it. I just had not used it in 3 years. And so I flew to Alaska and spent some time with the friends, and then we did the retreat. And again, once again, I asked the ladies to pray over me because I knew what I wanted to say, but it was, I had to have that extra reinforcement. And that's what happened at that point also. And so I think important enough is that you allow it to happen. Sometimes we think we can do it, just like John, my pastor used to say, God has a plan A, but when you come up with plan B, then that doesn't always come out to do it like you want it to. And do you guys, you and Joe, you and Paul, you remember Mike Stroop?
Yes.
Well,
Sure.
Mike preached a revival in Weatherford, I think, and I went to it. And one thing he said, this has been over 50 years ago, he said, when we bring our concerns and our petitions to the cross, we have to leave it there. He says, sometimes we walk away from the cross and we say, wait a minute, I have a plan, I have an idea, and we take it and take it away from the cross. And then we find out we should have left it there. And that's the game we play with God. That we want it and we want it right now. We don't want to wait and see what happens. And that's been a teaching point for me in the last 7 years. Next week will be 7 years that I lost my husband. And just looking around and doing what I'm doing, it's like, well, I don't know how I did it, but God knows how I did it. So
Absolutely.
feeling the presence of the Holy Spirit, if you allow it will be there, and He will lead you to do what you need to do. So.
Amen. Spot on. Well, we're looking at 6:49, so I need to take a 2-minute break and then pitch it back out there. It's so great to have Stephanie, because Tank and I flipped a coin for 2 weeks there. We've gone, but actually, yeah, right. Folks, we always try to share a word with you that's on kind of the business side to help, but not exactly the spiritual. But we trust God and on what He's doing. And Steph, it's so good to see you. So Tank and I would like to invite you to share with the people our little bit right there. Thank you.
Actually with her too, and I was like, did you do it? And he goes, no.
Yeah.
No problem. Okay. Pastor Joe mentioned at the beginning of the show that you can go to bbsradio.com/raising expectations, and that's kind of your one-stop shop for all the goodies, all the things about us, past shows, all that. There at near the top, if you scroll down just a little bit, TJ, there is a section for giving. And I know, Joe, you mentioned this is more like business, but it's scriptural. Giving is
Right.
scriptural. It's a heart issue. And so I just want to encourage you, if you are fed from this, little donations, they add up to many, right? It's not about the quantity, it's really about the heart and the willingness. So there's different ways that you can donate there. There's fancy ways, there's QR codes, and if you scroll down a little bit more, there's even the old snail mail way. You can just call Pastor Joe if you want. And if finances are not something that you can participate in, you can share the show. That's actually a really wonderful way to also help us. We're on all kinds of platforms. There you can see some of the past shows. You can find your favorites. Share that with your community and get the word out because that also helps us. And then there's how you can connect with each one of us on the different areas if you want. And then there should also be Pastor Joe and my husband's book. And that's it.
It's easy to do. It's right there. In fact, that QR square or code or whatever it's called, Somebody said it's real easy. You take your phone, put it up, and it does it. I haven't done
It
it. I take it by faith. So thank you, Steph. God, that boy, she does that well, huh, Tank? Boy,
Yeah,
that's
always, always, always.
exactly. Excellent, excellent. We do appreciate that. We've got about 3 minutes before we have to sign off, and what we'd like to share is Melba, if you wanted, if there's one thing you'd want to share with the people tonight, you've shared all these things, and in behalf of Ron and Paul and all of us, what would you want to leave with them?
You know, my prayer is that we continue to look at each generation that's represented in our congregations. And because each generation has their special needs, their special quirks, if you will, or their special concerns about their kids or their grandkids. It's so important to understand how God works and how He can work through all of the problems that we seem to have. And my one of my good friends, her granddaughters are going through some different gender things, and she's so upset and this and that. And I said, wait a minute. I said, you need to pray for them, but do not isolate yourself from them, because they love you. And if they're gonna feel that distance when you quit calling them or writing them or texting them. And I said, and it's their mom, you also, your daughter, that you need to pray for as well, because you can imagine what she feels as the mother of these kids. I said, you feel what you feel, but you can imagine what she feels. So she needs to be prayed over so that she can understand her children. She can, unfortunately, we have to support their decisions, but pray that God will change that. And so just be in prayer. Pray those circles and those squares and oblongs or whatever you want to pray over your people, over your families, and over your marriage even. You know, so many, we didn't realize how many problems our couples in our Hispanic congregation had until our current pastor has been with us almost a year and a half now. But he and his wife are counselors, and so they're being called on all the time with these families that are having marital problems, and so it hurts me that so many people are hurting,
Yes,
and we don't
exactly.
recognize those hurts, and we need to be praying
Amen.
for them.
Amen. And we, boy, the power of prayer, right? We've
Yes.
seen it all the way down the road. Well, let's remember what we've heard tonight, because we know it has a real message for each one of us. I sure felt it. And next week we have Denise Gary Pandall with us, and she's doing a series, lecture series at the university right now. She's going to be bringing a couple of weeks on that. But boy, is she a prayer warrior too, and we're praying for her. She would love what you said tonight, and she's praying
Thank
and
you.
hopes to work with President Trump too on some things. It's so good to see everybody. Stephanie, welcome back. So glad you're back. And we're excited we're excited. Whenever this thing bings, I want to say, yes, Lord, either that or beam me up. That was Star Wars. That's right. But anyway, actually, Ron, sometimes I'm ready to get beamed up. I don't know, bro, on that one. But
I can relate.
The wrong
yeah, that's right. Good to see
You have to
Ron
be
again.
long and prosper.
Yeah,
No, don't
Ron.
play with super glue. That's what that
I like that
means. Exactly.
Hey,
I just love you guys. It's so good to see everybody, and continue to pray. And I know Tank's got one right now. He's just chomping. It's ready to come. But yeah. So anyway, God bless you all, and we look forward to seeing you next week. We're getting ready to do some new things with the show, with all of us, and be talking to everybody on the team pretty soon. And we're just excited what God's doing. So God bless you, Melba, and everything that's coming may meet you at the deepest points of your needs and enlighten the path in front of you and flash on those lights as you follow what He's leading.
Thank you,
Thanks
Joe.
for your prayers this week.
Amen.
Good
Thank
to
you.
see you.
And Melba, thank you for
Yes.
coming. But thank you for coming. Next time you're on, though, you got to tell us about your connection with Stedman Graham.
Oh yes. Yeah.
He and I were senior class favorites, and I'll never forget, you know, he's 6'8", and we were in the side of Barron's Chapel, and we were walking in, and we stopped, and they put the light on us, and everyone started laughing because I'm 4'11" and 3/4". Now that 3/4" is so important, and he is 6'8". So I was at his waist, and I was like this. I said, Stedman, just walk. So we walked.
We need a picture of that, Melba. Huh, Ron?
Oh. She has one.
Next
She
time
has one.
I'm going to send it.
Next week,
I
that's
took out my yearbook the other day, and yeah,
Oh.
there's one in there.
All right. See that.
All right.
All right.
Sorry about that. I just want to get that out there.
I'm glad you brought that up. That's great, Ron. That's great. All right, folks. God bless and keep you. We'll see you next week. We run out of time. Melba, God bless you. We'll see
Thank you.
y'all.
God bless everybody.
All
Thanks,
right.
guys.
Y'all have a
Love you
good
guys.
week.
Good life. Bless you guys.
Okay.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.